Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's 5 o'clock.
Mahomes steps up, throws, and he got it!
This is Conference Championship Week with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
Touchdown, Kelsey!
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. It's Sports Bros, Rob and Sue.
Excited.
I'm Rob. That's Sook right over there.
Right.
Oh, dude.
Ryan Buckley is here.
What would you say you do here?
We got a special guest coming up in the club tonight.
You do?
Craig Gass is coming in.
Comedian.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He is a funny guy.
So make sure you tune in.
And he's a sports funny guy, too.
Yeah, and I love funny with my sports.
Yes. Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel, Howard Stern, does a bunch of Super Bowl stuff. There you go. Goes down to interviews the folks, the peeps. Some of his stuff where guys don't know how to take it. There's nothing better than a comedian interviewing a sports guy with no personality.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Do you know why that's a mismatch? And it is always fun? It's because the comedian is 50 times smarter than the guy he's interviewing.
Yes.
And he is 800 paces ahead of him. And the dumber guy can't keep up and he knows it. Yeah. And he's terrified.
I want to ask, like, what's the worst experience you've had in those things?
But then the comedian feels it, yeah. And that's his Super Bowl. Like, he is off and running, and there's no stopping him.
No.
It's always a great listen or watch.
Yes.
when that occurs. So he's going to come in. We're gonna have some fun.
Yeah, chop it up in the club.
Coming up next, worst late-game playoff blunders, the Mark Andrews edition.
Mm.
But right now, the Hot 5. Look at this. We are really consistent. I got to call something out.
It's right there out of town.
So the Hot 5 at 5 is supposed to be at 5.
Yes.
Here, since we're always behind,
yeah.
It's at 5:12. And I got to tell you, I think we've done it at 5:12.
Yeah.
Maybe 4 days in a row.
It's possible.
Oh, yeah.
It's 5:12. It's time for the very consistent Hot 5.
The boss isn't going to like this.
At 5:12.
That's 5:13 now.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
You can also get the Power Stash.
Number five.
Well, being the one man with courage on The Fan who acknowledges that the golf season has begun, I will now give you golf scores.
I can't wait. Is it TGL golf scores? That's the only That's the only golf league that I care about.
Let's not get carried away. By the way, there's TGL golf controversy.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a bit.
That's the why isn't it now? That's the golf open that people
care
about.
It is round one of the Farmers Insurance Open.
The Farmers
at Torrey Pines in San Diego.
When's the State Farm Open?
They are starting a day early so as not to conflict with the NFL on Sunday because they're no dummies. The big handsome Swede has the lead, Ludvig Ober.
I do love my Swedes.
A buttery little 9-under 63.
That is nice.
On the North course. Now on the South course, which is much tougher, Danny Walker, some guy, I don't even know who that is, he went 7-under. Not a ton of big names in this event as Tiger Woods, you know, he's long gone, Phil's long gone. So this event's kind of getting shafted because it's not one of those elevated events. And that's sad because Torrey Pines is
number
great.
Number 4.
Hideki Matsuyama is there. I know you love him.
I do.
He is 4-under.
By the way, my man Ludvig, I think he looks like a serial killer. Just so you know.
It's the eyes.
Yeah. There's something. He's got that handsome American, in this case, Swedish psycho.
I can see
if it turns out he's got bodies in the crawl space, I'd be like, yeah.
He's got that very stoic, but like classically handsome thing going on. It's very odd.
He lures people like into Bundy. Like a van somewhere. He's terrifying.
The NBA is careening toward the All-Star break. Dallas currently 7th in the West. They are 23-20, but they may be without Derek Lively for the season. He has fractured his footsie. The 7-footer was averaging 9 points and 8 boards. Now, your Blazers have somehow rattled off 2 in a row.
I don't like it.
Don't talk tanking around them.
I don't like it.
They are in Orlando tomorrow to take on the Magic.
Well, it's all about Scoot, man. He's going to that lake. That and they're just, you know, the Miami Heat suck really bad.
I'm going to go to that lake.
The Bulls and the Heat, I think, are their last two that they've
Magic Johnson.
Look at you, disseminating sports information.
That's right. I think they now are like the 7th worst record, which is not good. Again,
not good.
You need bottom 6. That's the line.
Number 3.
Matt Stafford's wife says her boo busted some ribs in week 15 against the Niners.
Why is Matthew Stafford's wife always like disseminating
information? She has a podcast, doesn't she?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She likes being out there. She said that he re-aggravated the injury last weekend against the Eagles. Remember, he left the game for a bit.
Yeah.
You know, he got smacked around.
Is Matt Stafford's wife the new Brenda Warner?
A little, I mean, kind of.
Yeah. Other Rams?
Although I think Brenda Warner is way cooler than Matt Stafford's wife.
Matthew Stafford's wife is,
seems like kind of a Karen.
Not a fan.
Stafford is 36. He says he's going to take some time to decide if he wants to retire. One guy who will not be retiring is a pass rusher, Khalil Mack. Yeah. Remember they said his name
Nice job on the pronunciation.
Khalil.
Yeah, so weird. Yeah, he said he's going to come back for another year.
Yeah, he plays for the Chargers, but he's going to be an unrestricted free agent.
Someone will pick him up. You know, kind of a Von Miller-esque. Still get after the quarterback a bit, but
I forgot Von Miller's in Buffalo.
Von Miller
Tony
is in
Romo
Buffalo.
Pointed him out on the broadcast the other day. I'm like, oh, yeah. He's still out there. He didn't do much, but he's out there.
Nah, he's not. He's a shell of himself. But you're hoping, you know, third down situations, close out a game, he can come up with a play.
Number 2.
Bucks OC Liam Cohen is out of the running for the Jags job. Just after that announcement, the Jags announced they had fired their GM, Trent Baalke.
Turns out that a lot of the top candidates didn't want to work with Baalke. One, he's not a very good GM, and two, he's a lame duck guy. So the Jaguars really screwed this. You think the Cowboys are screwing up their coaching search? The Jaguars are like, hold my beer.
Elsewhere, Bucks assistant GM John Spytek has been hired as the GM of the Raiders. He played with Tom Brady at Michigan and, of course, ran with him in Tampa. Now so that's the connection.
And now they got to find a coach and a quarterback. Supposedly that was the Ben Johnson thing. As Ben was interested in the Raiders job, but I think it was the idea of not having a quarterback and not sure how you're going to get one that ultimately landed him in Chicago.
I think that that's smart.
Yes.
If I'm Ben Johnson.
Well, you know, when you only get one of these and you don't know if you're going to get another crack, I think it's just really hard to take a job without a quarterback and you don't have a top pick, especially in a weak quarterback draft class. And if you look at next year's class, it also projects right now to be very weak.
And going into a division with some of the very best quarterback play in the league.
I mean, it's killer. It's an absolute killer. When you got Bo Nix, Justin Herbert, and Pat Mahomes, and you have...
We don't know yet?
Yeah. Insert question mark here.
Aiden O'Connell?
Yes. Seriously, that's what you got. Jimmy
it is official. The Jets have hired Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn as their head coach. He was a first-round pick of the Jets in 1994. And in unrelated coordinator news, Al Golden is leaving Notre Dame. He will be the new defensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. And you know, Al Golden did a great job at Notre Dame. He is a he's an underappreciated part of that, because that team was built on defense and running the ball.
Yeah.
Just to see, too, where the reports were that Notre Dame players were threatening reporters after the championship
game.
I did
see that. Did we ever find out what that was about?
I just saw an awful announcing post about it now. Dan Wolkin.
Dan Wolkin said that he was writing an article on the Jeremiah Smith catch. Right, that was the focus on it.
Okay.
And so he went into the locker room, the Notre Dame locker room, because he had talked to Jeremiah Smith, he had talked to Will Howard. So he goes into the Notre Dame locker room to talk to, I think Grant was the corner.
To get the other side of the story.
The other side of the story. And he said he walked in, and it was already really tense. And one of the reporters was like, dude, don't ask him. Like, it's turned into a whole thing. I guess players were yelling and bitching and at other reporters. And so he was like, well, if I can't get that side of the story, this isn't worth it. So he went to leave and said something to the SID, and the SID kind of lit into him. And then he claims that players were threatening, said they were using really aggressive language. He said in all his years, he had never seen anything like it in a locker room.
Just because he was going to write about that?
I guess people were asking the corner and asking players about the throw to Jeremiah Smith.
Well, yeah, it's part of the game.
And apparently Notre Dame was not all about it.
See, can't handle losing.
Yeah, he just said he had, and that's an experienced reporter. He said he had never seen anything like it. And, you know, during normal NCAA games, you don't have access to the locker room. But in the playoffs and the championships, you do. And his point was, dude, you have to, as an SID, inform your players that, dude, this is going to be part of it.
It's going to be a little different, and you're going to have to take it.
And apparently Notre Dame did not handle it very well at all.
Victory Co.'s Mexican food is a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victorico's.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. Worst late-game playoff blunders, the Mark Andrews edition, next on The Fan. All right, coming up next, we'll talk about the college football player who transferred without the portal.
And seemingly broke whatever sort of structure was left of the NCAA, which is not much. I believe he has shattered that plexiglass ceiling, because it's not glass. It's not glass.
He's like, wait, you can't do this. And they're like, ha, got us.
Yeah, I can.
But first, the worst late game playoff blunders list, Mark Andrews edition. This was put together by somebody on internet, and they did a wonderful job with it.
Yeah.
I don't know who to credit.
But someone on internet.
Yeah, internet did this, and it was great. And it is, you know, it is worth talking about. You know, Mark Andrews, I don't know if he will be synonymous with that football game when it's all said and done, because there's more to his career.
Yeah. It's going to hurt.
But it is interesting how some guys, just when you think of them or when their name is brought up, you think of their blunder, and that is it.
Yep.
And the first one he had on the list, is this goes chronologically, will start in 1988, is Ernest Biner.
Yes.
Because anytime I hear Ernest Biner, and Ernest Biner is a pretty good running back.
He had a really good career, and it was the fumble.
The fumble.
Yeah.
3-yard line against Denver.
I mean, and it, at that time, I mean, I guess it, think about this. You said, what was that, 1980 what?
1988.
And Cleveland has still never been back. Like, that was their chance. God. And Ernest Biner was a really, really good player for them. And that's he is the NFL's Billy Buckner. I don't know if there's one more synonymous with just one thing than Ernest Biner.
Yeah. Okay, the next one on the list, the 2000 NFC wildcard. I had forgotten about this, but once I saw the video, I was like, oh, yeah. There were 2 minutes left, and Oz Zahir Hakim muffed a punt for the Rams that allowed, because they were going to try to drive down and tie the game against the Saints, and he muffed it.
Yeah.
And it cost him the game.
The only thing about him is, because I do remember that, but I don't, like, I remember that play, but only because you brought it up.
Yeah. I remember the play, but interestingly enough, this is what my point. We don't. If I were to bring up Oz Zahir Hakim on the show,
I would just say greatest show on turf with Warner and Isaac Bruce.
Yeah, you wouldn't think of it.
Yeah,
2001 AFC divisional round. The Titans are down 17-10, and I'd forgotten about this, but I remember it once I watched it. They were down 17-10 and driving with under 5 minutes left, and Eddie George dropped a short pass. And it fell right into the hands of Ray Lewis, who returned it for a touchdown. Thanks for coming. Hmm. It was very similar to, not same type of game situation as the Texas-Ohio State playoff game the other day.
Yeah.
Where Quinn Ewers, fumbles, scoop and score, game
Thanks
over.
Thanks for coming. And you think about just, again, there's another team that's never been able to get over the hump. You forget just some of these things that are just soul-crushing.
The Titans, yeah. So the Titans, so 2001, was that before or after the Rams Super Bowl where the outstretched arm? I forget who's the guy who caught the ball.
That was Dyson.
Dyson,
Kevin
right at the
Dyson.
End.
I think that might have been the following year.
The next year.
Because I want to say that the Dyson, that was the Super Bowl that happened in the year 2000. So I think you would have been looking at playoffs 2001 the following season.
Well, that's what this was, 2001 AFC divisional round.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is I think that the Super Bowl was the year prior, was the 99 season going into the 2000 Super Bowl, I think.
Yes, because the 2002 Super Bowl was Patriots-Rams, and that would have been the Rams back-to-back, right? So, yeah, I think that would have been the 2001 Super Bowl was that, was the Tennessee. Well,
this is saying the 2001 AFC divisional round was the Titans losing to the Ravens.
It might be because the Super Bowl, you know, it's technically the 2001 Super Bowl, but it was the 2000. Oh, yeah.
Might have been in December or something. Yeah. I don't know, whatever. 2003 wild card. Matt Hasselbeck, we want the ball and we're going to score.
We're going to score.
In Green Bay.
Pick. He threw famous a pick, last words.
He threw a pick six and they lost. That one does stick to him.
Yes.
When I think of Matt Hasselbeck, I think of that.
Yes.
The first thing I think of.
Well, I mean, because it's such a, and it wouldn't if it wasn't for the, we're going to get the ball and we're,
yeah,
you know,
if he didn't, yeah, exactly. If he didn't say anything,
that's like calling your shot and then you like, you foul it off into your nuts. Like that's, there's no bigger, that may be the biggest boner of all time because you called your shot and then you directly lost the game.
2007 wild card, definitely does not stick to him, but people know that he did it. Tony Romo muffs the hold against the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about that. Looking,
that's the most iconic Romo play, though. I mean, people think of him as a broadcaster. As a play, that's the one that stands out for me.
No, it's definitely true. I don't know why it doesn't really...
Because it was early on and Romo wasn't Romo.
Yeah. That's why he was holding in the first place.
Yeah, I think that was the first... Like, at that minute, at the end of Romo's tenure, it sticks to him way more.
So the score... I'd forgotten about the score and situation in that game. It was 21-20.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys were losing. 4th and 1 with 1:19 left, and they kicked the field goal, or tried to kick the field goal, which I think, I don't know, I think today, some coach might shove that down the throat for a yard.
Yeah, although back in the day, that wasn't a thing. This whole 4th down.
I know, but down, I don't know, today I think most coaches kick because you're only down 1.
Yeah.
And there's 1:20, but.
Yeah, you would, but, you know. There is.
There are some funny. If you go back and watch old games, because I do that all the time, I'm like constantly doing that. Yeah. Do you believe that?
No.
But you know what I mean. You see old clips and stuff. Coaches like punting from the 35
You
know,
the olden days.
Cowards.
You had to have nude photos of a coach. You had to have his mom under like lock and key ransom to get him to go for it on 4th down. Now. It's like you're just shamed if you don't go it for it on 4th down. That is a complete shift in coaching philosophy.
Based on that, I would love to see the numbers go all the way back in history of all the great coaches and find out who was the biggest ween of all of them. I feel like Schottenheimer. I remember Schottenheimer in Kansas City.
Giant candy ass.
Hell of a coach.
Yeah.
But I feel like he got this label of being way too conservative sometimes.
Yeah. Well, there is a Twitter account that I love, and it's called the Cowardly Punt Index.
Oh, yeah.
And anytime someone punts, they bring up this is in the 17th percentile for most cowardly punt.
They have the analytics on it. And it's a pretty good follow because it actually, because there are times when you're like, oh, my God, how are they punting? And then you see the numbers, and you're like, okay.
It's not so bad. And then other times you're like, yep, confirmed, coward.
2009 NFC Championship, Vikings Saints tied. Minnesota is at the New Orleans 40. They have 19 seconds left, so they do need a few more yards to get into field goal range.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Favre pulls a Drew Aller.
Mm.
He rolls out right, throws across his body to the middle of the field, and it gets picked, and they lose.
It's just stuff like that. I mean, when you're that great, it's hard for stuff to stick to you. I mean, Favre has a bunch of crap, but he's Brett Favre.
But he's more synonymous with Packers.
Exactly.
And this was the later Vikings days.
This was to the end.
2012 AFC Championship, the Ravens down 23-20 to the Patriots, 28 seconds left. Joe Flacco hits Lee Evans in the corner of the end zone, but Sterling Moore knocks it away. Now, this one I remember.
I don't remember this.
And I remember Lee Evans getting a lot of heat, but looking back, if you rewatch it, yeah, it was just a great play by Sterling Moore. He just knocked it out of his breadbasket.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
And then 2015 Super Bowl, of course, we all remember the Seahawks down 28-24 to the Patriots on the goal line.
It's the greatest. This is
20 seconds left, second down. Russell Wilson throws an INT.
Malcolm Butler.
To lose the game.
Yep. That may be the most painful play in Seattle history. Would have been back. Would have been back to back Super Bowls, and you know, you defeat the Patriots, you had them dead to rights, and
they would have been going for a three-peat.
Marshawn Lynch, and you get picked. You get picked. Oh, my goodness.
A lot of people asking, where's Scott Norwood? Yeah, he didn't put Scott Norwood on the list.
I don't really see any kickers on there, because kickers are just kind of, you know.
What kicker?
Nice job, you kicker!
Is most synonymous.
Scott Norwood.
Yeah, I was thinking other kickers, sorry.
Morton Anderson. Was it Morton? Or which was the one that had... hadn't missed in 2 years.
That's Gary Anderson.
Wasn't
that a really long kick that he missed?
No, I don't think
so. No, it was short. It's like 38 or something. Oh.
But that was the one, that Minnesota team with Randall Cunningham and Chris Carter.
Had not missed a field goal all season, maybe like, 2 years.
They were
and
like
then
a 14-win team or whatever. They were the best team in the NFL that year, and the Atlanta freaking Falcons. And Gary Anderson hadn't missed a kick all year, he shanked it.
That made for a super lame Super Bowl with Atlanta and Denver.
And they just got annihilated.
Chandler.
That Minnesota Tim team Dwight. Was really, really good. And, I mean, you look at, and they had, I think, John Randall's on that. I think Chris Dolman might have been on that team. I mean, it was just loaded. And they lost a freaking Jamal Anderson and the Dirty Birds. Nice play, you effing kicker.
Cody Parkey, I remember him. Double doink.
Yeah, kickers, I think, I think it's a little easier to just associate kickers with that than it is everyday players. But if you're Mark Andrews, you'll be happy that a lot of those have faded into obscurity.
They have. As a matter of fact, most of them have. The only one on that list, there are two on that list that really stick to the player. One is Matt Hasselbeck. The other is Ernest Biner.
Yeah, I think those are the two. Yeah.
But outside of that, maybe Andrews gets through this. I don't know.
He'll be all right. And it didn't happen in the Super Bowl. It didn't happen in the end. And I think the earlier it happens in the playoffs, it's better.
He had two of them.
He actually had three.
And that team was really good.
Yep.
The Bills Mafia story about Mark Andrews and his charity?
Like $60,000, I think they donated.
Yeah. I mean, apparently Andrews was getting death threats from his own fan base, and so Bills Mafia took it on themselves to try to help him out, but also, I mean, maybe twist the knife.
Look, I feel for people because that is one, if you know, regardless of whether he's remembered or not, that will haunt him forever. That will absolutely haunt Mark Andrews forever. He will never get over that. Ever.
The college football player who has transferred without the portal. Next, here's Buck.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Well, something pretty groundbreaking happened recently, and not a lot of people are talking about it for whatever reason. And it is that Wisconsin defensive back Xavier Lucas left Wisconsin and is now going to play at Miami.
Yeah.
But he didn't enter the portal because Wisconsin refused to put him in it. They were having a revenue sharing contract dispute.
Yep.
And so Wisconsin said, yeah, you ain't transferring. He's like, watch me. He did not go in the portal. He just left and went to Miami.
Yeah, the portal had already closed, right? There are portal windows. So you can see it where a guy goes, hey, I'm making my intent to transfer, but you can't until the portal window. He just said, I'm leaving. And Wisconsin's like, no, you're not. He signs and they're like, we're not letting you out of your agreement. Miami's like, whatever, we'll take you. So Wisconsin gets all pissy, calls the NCAA and is like, what the hell? And the NCAA comes out and says, there's really no such thing as the portal. And like reporters were asking the NCAA about this, and the NCAA basically admitted that the portal isn't a real thing. They said, well, we don't really have any way to enforce it. And it's just more of a, they went, So according to now the NCAA, the transfer portal doesn't exist. You can leave whenever the hell you want. What?
So
what are we doing?
The way he's getting around it is he did not formally sign with Miami. So what he did was he just left.
Yeah.
He withdrew from classes at Wisconsin, and he is enrolled academically at Miami, but he did not formally sign with Miami, and so that means he skirts the transfer rules. So he's enrolled for the fall, and he's going to reclassify to spring 2025. Freaking brilliant, by the way.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And I wonder if more kids are going to do this.
Well, if
not a lot of them are in a conflict with their school like this.
But. No, but the fact that the NCAA came out and basically said that the transfer portal isn't a real thing. What? I consider me just a moron then, because I thought this thing was like steadfast, that there were like real rules in place about when and where and all that. Apparently the NCAA is saying no, there's not.
The other thing this is going to do is it's going to make the rules will come fast.
It has to.
About enforcing and signing and the rules behind these revenue sharing agreements.
Yeah.
In other words, the pay for play. Because Wisconsin may have a leg to stand on here. They're saying, hey, wait a minute. We signed you. You signed this.
Yeah.
This is what we agreed to. And so breaking that agreement, that's going to trigger litigation from Wisconsin. Well, it will. I mean, they're pissed off. They're like, wait a minute. You can't just sign and leave.
But he'll be like, well, that's fine. I don't want whatever you're offering anyway. So see you later.
Yeah. And well, by him not signing with Miami, they really can't stop him. That's
right.
That's the genius of it.
And that's like if you sign a contract to be a coach somewhere and you're like, I'm not going to coach this team anymore. Well, you might not be able to just hop to the next job right away, but you can certainly leave that one.
He's claiming that the school left him in purgatory because they weren't talking to him. They weren't communicating to him. So he's saying, well, I had to leave because I didn't know what to do.
I had to leave. I just, man, I am all for the transfer portal. I'm all for NIL because for years, and I hate when Nick Saban and these guys come out and then they rattle their sabers about how awful it is now. Meanwhile, for years and years, coaches could get whatever the hell they wanted, leave whenever they wanted. And now that the players can do it, now it's the end all, the be all. But some of this stuff is completely out of control. And the NCAA just now throwing up their hands and saying, there's nothing we can do about it. And this stems from, remember when Tennessee and was it Tennessee and Virginia that sued the NCAA? And the NCAA came out and said, there will be no more NIL investigations because we can't hold up in court. So we're just doing away with it. And at that point, the floodgates were open. You could do whatever you wanted, pay for play, any sort of agreement. And we were like, all right, well, all the guardrails are off. But now we're finding out that the guardrails aren't off. There's just no structure. There's no transfer portal. You can leave. You can leave whenever the hell you want. And the NCAA is like, yeah, there's nothing we can do about it because they know they'll lose.
Yeah, but I don't see a lot of kids doing this because they don't have to. Like, they're not fighting with their, most of the schools are like, okay, fine, leave. And it's the portal is the easiest way to get found.
Yes.
Because once you enter it,
yeah,
all the that's where everybody's doing the business. So yeah. It behooves you to go into the portal.
It's the forum for it.
Yes. Yeah. But if you have issues with your school, you technically don't need the portal, which is amazing.
No, you don't.
Absolutely amazing.
Well, just the next time someone says that the like, if this is really the wild, wild west, as it appears to be, in the NCAA saying, I'll find the response, by the way, I'm looking for it. Like, it's alarming what the NCAA said. But there are people that are saying, in theory, you could leave three games into the season and just go enroll somewhere else and play and be like, go ahead and try to stop me, NCAA. Because as long as there isn't employment contracts saying that you are tied here, antitrust laws would seemingly, and this is what the NCAA is saying, seemingly prevents them from doing anything. I know it's a slippery slope, and I don't like to do that. Well, if this happened, this could happen. But in theory, right now, according to the NCAA statement, you could play two games at Oregon and be like, nah, I don't like this. And then play the next week at the University of Washington and then play Oregon. Like, that is the sort of, that's the sort of Pandora's box that we're getting in here.
And I'd love to see it.
Something has to change. There has to be some.
You would think they'd invoke some sort of rule that you can't play for two different schools within a certain period of time.
Yeah, we got to pull a Spicoli. We left this England place because it was bogus. If we don't get some cool rules ourselves, we're just going to be bogus too. Yeah?
Who's the Expos guy who played for two teams in one day?
Yeah,
he played for the Mets, I think.
Yeah, I remember that. But it was like because of a delay in the game.
Was it like Tim Wallach?
Something like that. Yeah, he played for the...
He played for both teams.
Played for both teams.
On the same day.
Yeah. And you may actually have that happening, which would be hilarious.
All right.
At halftime, you're just like, yeah, you know what?
You know what? I'll see you on the other side, bitches. I'm going to go play for them.
Like the way this is like the way this is going.
All right, open segment next on The Fan. All right.
All right. I'm old. I am dying.
I'm done with sports.
No, I'm not going to give you no cookie.
I'm tired of talking about sports with you guys
tonight.
We
have sportsed very hard today.
Super
this
sportsy.
This is about as hard as we've sports.
What's going on?
I'm sports exhausted.
Me too.
Nice job, you kicker!
Freaking kickers.
We have a guest coming in, I think.
Yeah, I think he just pulled up. I got to go get him.
Oh. You're going to escort him in?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how else to let
piggyback?
I don't know. When's the last time you gave another grown man a piggyback ride?
I remember drunkenly hopping on a friend's back not too long ago.
Yeah.
Downtown Portland, yeah. And we fell.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think
that night got away from us.
I don't think I can. Like, you got to be a hefty individual for me to even attempt to get on your back.
Well, yeah, you're too big, but yeah. Guys like little dainty guys like me.
I honestly, you know, the last time I gave a grown man a piggyback ride might be when Pat Casey drunkenly jumped on my back at a charity event.
That was many years ago.
Yeah, that was many years ago.
I see his brother retired. Did you see that?
No, I did not. Does he want a piggyback ride?
He was the coach at George Fox. Mm. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I did not know about the other Casey brother. So now they're both retired doing whatever the Caseys are doing.
All right, well, go get our friend.
See what I can do.
Craig Gass is coming in. Comedian.
Yeah. Impression man extraordinaire.
Let's hope he's funny.
Yeah, hey, funny man, do something funny.
If he's not funny, will you make fun of him?
Yeah. Is there anything worse than when a comedian is like, hey, tell some jokes?
Ugh.
I've heard horror stories about comedians saying, never do comedy unless it's at a comedy club.
Right.
Do not go into any sort of party or event and be like, hey, do 5 minutes real quick.
Start dropping one-liners on a radio with two other people.
Yeah, don't do it.
Not great.
Don't do it.
All right, so Craig Gass in studio coming up next on The Fan.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.